Amen. Good morning, brothers. Can you hear me? Okay. Well, we sang this song not because this song is particularly in line with the burden of the word this morning, but because it's simply difficult to find a hymn that would support or match the message this morning. There's actually another hymn which similarly, with certain words in the verses of that hymnal, but it is not on the kingdom, it is not on the line of the burden. However, it touches on the burden. So that would be 866. We're not going to sing it in English, in English. And we want to jot down that. And there's actually a reference in our message today, I mean in the outline today, that referred to this hymn, 866. Anyway, this morning, under the general heading of living in the reality of the kingdom of God, we come to message four, the exercise of the kingdom for the building up of the church. We all know that the word exercise is pertinent whenever we get into the subject of the kingdom. We even have a hymn that says that the kingdom today is a real exercise. So in order to have the kingdom reality, in order to live in that reality, as we will see today, is truly a matter of much exercise. You don't drift into this reality. It doesn't just happen. It happens because of much and consistent and steadfast and continual exercise on our part in order for this reality to be in our midst. And of course, this exercise of the kingdom is for none other than the building up of the church. We saw yesterday that the kingdom and the church are actually synonymous. That the church, the kingdom is the church is the kingdom. Both are mentioned in two verses, right? In Matthew 16, 18 and 19, back to back. I hope that vision or that truth is clear to us. Now, this morning, I would put it this way. this morning, I'm led by the Lord, and also according to this outline, to speak a very important word that I feel the Lord's recovery needs today. And that would be what the Apostle Paul called in the epistle of the 1 Corinthians, the word of the cross. The word of the cross. In a way, I personally feel that that word is somewhat short among us. It's not short in the ministry, in the books, and all of that. I am talking about a timely, present word on the cross. And of course, we don't mean that piece of wood that the Lord Jesus had to carry on and be nailed to it and die on it. We're not just talking about the Lord's crucifixion per se when we talk about the word of the cross. We are talking about the application of that cross. We're talking about the subjective experience of that cross, which is vitally, vitally necessary, brothers, for the real building up of the church. We usually would say we need life, we need the Spirit, we need the grace and so on, the supply, the dispensing of God, and so on to build up the church. That's true. But we can neglect the other side, the opposite side, in a way, and that is the application or experience subjectively of that cross on a daily basis. I would even say on a moment-to-moment basis. To me, that may well be the reason why, even in the realm of the Lord's recovery, the building up of the church is not advancing or going on as it should be. And our brother, again and again, as you will see if you get into the ministry excerpts behind this outline, why, he asked, that after 20 centuries, the body of Christ or the church of God is still not built up. And he would call our attention to this very thing that we're going to cover this morning. Now, I would just like to read main or salient verses from the scripture reading. Not that we're not familiar with this chapter, chapter 16, Matthew, nor this particular passage in this chapter, but that I think to have a reading of it may help us to focus on the speaking, on the burden this morning. So we start with verse 16, and of course, here you have the Lord and some of his disciples in Caesarea Philippi, and asking them, who do you say that I am? There are a lot of opinions and ideas from men concerning the Lord, concerning Christ. You know, some say you're John the Baptist, others said you're Elijah, and still others, you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But the Lord say, forget about them. What? Who do you say? I've been with you for a while. Who do you say that I am? So we begin the reading from that point with Simon Peter's response. Verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Perhaps one of the greatest utterances there is from a mere mortal, from a man. Truly, no one could exclaim that or declare this without a vision from God himself. Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in the heavens. So here you have a blessed Peter who actually receive this revelation directly from the Father God. No one can say this because I heard something from flesh and blood or from men. It has to come from God directly to each one of us. Verse 18, and I also say to you that you are Peter, the stone. Remember, in one of the first encounter between Simon and the Lord, the Lord immediately changed his name. You're Simon, but I will call you a stone, Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church. This rock simply refers to that revelation of Christ as the Christ and the Son of the living God. Based on that as a foundation, upon that rock, I will build my church. These five enormous, colossal words out of the Lord's mouth, Brother Lee called it the greatest prophecy there is. I will build my church. I think it would be we would do well to just declare that. Just declare that. Let's just declare that right now. I will build my church. That's it. That is the greatest prophecy. You know, with all that is going on in the Middle East, Israel, we're all concerned and we should have a fair knowledge of all the prophecies related to that, which has a lot to do eventually with the Lord's return, the Lord's coming, the end of the age, etc. But remember, the greatest prophecy is that Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, will build his church. That is the greatest prophecy. And to get into this morning's burden, we need to remember that there's but one thing in the Lord's heart and mind. There's only one pleasure and heart's desire within him. There's only one goal and purpose that he has, and that is to build his own church, his own body, his own bride. But he does not end there. He continues, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The moment the church is mentioned, Hades have to be mentioned right away. Or the Lord mentioned Hades right away. In fact, not just Hades, the place of death, where only one person ruled there who has the power of death. And that's Satan. Am I right? This is a revelation of Satan by the Lord. The gates of Hades. Just remember here, not just Hades, but Hades have gates. Gates. That means they open, they close. You enter, you exit. That's a gate. Things can go in, things can come out. That's gates. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Demonstrating that the unique enemy of Christ, the unique thing that would oppose and hinder and frustrate the fulfillment of this greatest prophecy is nothing less than these gates. These gates. Why, after 2,000 years, why even in our midst, with all the revelation that we have received, the building up of the church is still advancing so slowly? I'm quoting Brother Lee. Because of these gates. Because these gates, as we will see, are not exercised or following the burden of this outline, not closed, not even closed, but not locked. You can unlock a gate. You can also lock the gate. And we will see very quickly that the typical interpretation of these gates in a positive way, and we agree with that, are the gates given to Peter, who on the day of Pentecost used one of them positively to open the gate of this gospel of the kingdom for people to enter in to the kingdom of God, because these are the keys of the kingdom. Verse 19, I will give to you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of the heavens. I will give to you. And Peter surely used one of them on the day of Pentecost so that the Jewish believers, right, on that day could enter into the kingdom of the heavens. And Peter would use, according to the Lord's prophecy, the other key, the two keys here, in the house of Cornelius there in Acts 10, to open yet another gate so that the Gentile believers could enter. So you have those two gates, those two opening of the gates by Peter, and as a result, the Jewish believers and also God's Old Testament believers, I should correct myself, the Jewish believers, let's leave it at that, could enter into this kingdom of the heavens. And then in Cornelius' house, another gate was opened that the Gentile believers, many of us, could enter into that kingdom of heavens as well. Basically, that means we can enter into the church because the church and the kingdom are interchangeably used. The genuine church life today, the church today, is the kingdom of God in this age that we're in. Now, the Lord continues, whatever you bind on the earth shall have been bound in heavens, and whatever you loose on the earth shall have been loose in the heavens. Then he charged the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. I want to impress upon you, brothers, that immediately after the Lord revealed his intention to build up his church, the idea of warfare is revealed. Brothers, building the church is a war. It involves the greatest spiritual battle there is between the church that the Lord is going to build and these gates of Hades. Peter used the keys of the kingdom to open those gospel doors, or the doors to the kingdom of the heavens for us to enter in. But what about the gates? What about the gates of Hades? What about that source of death? What about the power of death? Who possesses the power of death today? It's none other than God's enemy, Satan. So this is the place of Satan. Hades is his kingdom. And death is how he rules. And there are gates to this Hades where death can come out. And these gates of Hades are actually the kingdom of darkness. And death is his power that Satan used to fight against the Lord and the church. And this fact has been borne out in the last 2,000 years and still today. Now we must continue and finish the reading. Verse 21, from that time, the time that we just talked about in Caesarea Philippi, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. Right after the Lord revealed that he will build his church, after he revealed the gates of Hades will fight against that building up, right after he reveals the keys of the kingdom would be given to Peter, and right after he reveals the need to bind on the earth what has been already been bound in heaven, that means the will of God, the heavenly will of God, to be carried out, executed on the earth today by the church that should do the work of binding and loosing. After he revealed these things, this great revelation from he himself, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. The word is he must, not that he will. He must go, because that is the only pathway to the fulfillment of this prophecy. For the building up of the church, the way is to Jerusalem. He must go to Jerusalem not to be crowned as a king, but to suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. You want the church to be built? I will build my church, but I must go to Jerusalem. This tells us that the Lord's death and resurrection, the Lord's crucifixion and resurrection, is the unique way to build up the church's body. Please remember this, brothers. There's not another way. The church is not built by your gift, by my charisma, by knowledge, by doctrines, by organization, by worldly means. The church is not built that way. The church is built through crucifixion and resurrection, led by the Lord Jesus himself. I must go. I must die and be raised. The same Peter that not too long ago, I don't know how long ago, it must be not long ago, who saw something and exclaimed something that no other mortal have done. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That Peter who received this revelation from God the Father. That Peter that had been given the keys of the kingdom. This Peter, this very Peter, took the Lord aside, okay? Took the Lord aside and began to rebuke him. I mean, take some gumption, huh? Some audacity for Peter to rebuke the Lord. He was sincere. He was not playing around. He was deeply concerned that the Lord Jesus would die. You should be crowned. You should become king. You should rule. He began to rebuke him. God be merciful to you. My goodness. Wow, this. You know what this shows? The audacity of a natural man. I tell you, when we are living in our natural life, we are audacious like this. We can say anything. We rebuke. We overstep. We talk in the ways we don't know what we're talking about. That's the natural man. And here you have Peter's natural man in full display. The same Peter who saw great deep revelations and given the responsibility to open those kingdom gates. This Peter, at that instant, was living in his natural life, and he reverted from being Peter, Simon Peter, to become Simon Barjona again, the natural man, with a good heart, by the way. He loved the Lord, didn't he? You can't die. You're going to build your church, am I right? And you're going to go to die? This shall by no means happen to you. No way. I'm not going to let it happen. And I'm going to stop you now, Jesus. 23, but he turned, the Lord, turned and said to Peter, another famous word from the Lord, to this one who said, you are the Messiah, the Christ, he said, get behind me, Satan. Dear brothers, at that moment, this Peter is no longer a stone in resurrection through transformation. This man has reverted back to his natural life, using his natural mind, exercising his natural emotions. And he became one with the devil. Brothers, this is a word we need. We need this word. I can be the devil in a moment. You can be Satan in a moment. No joke. I'm not threatening. I'm speaking to myself. One moment we see great things, and the moment we're manipulated fully by Satan himself to do what is good, to do something sincere, to save the Lord. You, Peter, are a stumbling block to me, for you are a snare to me. Because you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. So you have here, number one, Satan present. Number two, remember these things. This is important in the message today. The mind, that mind that is set on the things of men. That's the second thing. Then verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So the third thing to note here is himself, or what we usually would call the self, the I. That needs to be denied. And we continue in 25. And the way is to take up the cross. It's in the outline. We'll get to it. 25. For whoever wants to save his soul life shall lose it, but whoever loses his soul life for my sake shall find it. I'll just stop my reading of the scriptures here. But note the third thing, or the fourth thing that is mentioned here, the soul life that needs to be, that we need to lose. So you have Satan here, then you have a three-in-one here, mind, self, and the soul, or the soul life. These three things joined together, it's actually Satan in action. Satan working. So you see, although in a sense, the Church of God over time has been subject to persecution, to attack, to opposition, by all manners of heresies, evil teachings, the world, many, many things, as a kind of direct attack on the church from the source of Satan. But this morning, we're not going to talk about that. This morning, we're talking about Satan from another direction. And that direction is not these things from without. That direction is more subtle. It is we, you and I, like Peter. That can be transformed, if you will, into Satan, to hinder, to frustrate the Lord from building up his church. I hope just by this reading you have a sense, huh? You have a kind of a picture in front of you. Let's get into this outline now. Number one, Matthew 16 reveals the way to build up the church and also reveals the enemy of the building. So actually there are two things revealed in Matthew 16, not just the church, but God's enemy, Satan. Not just the building up of the church, but the frustration to that very building, revealed in these verses. A, Christ, the Son of the living God, builds the church on himself as the rock, with stones such as Peter, you and I as well, a transformed person. Didn't we all got the name change as well? When we were met the Lord, when we were saved and especially regenerated, we all have a name change. We all are today the living stones. The living stones for the building of the church. Be the gates of Hades, Satan's authority or power of darkness. Attack the church to frustrate the Lord from building up the church. So today, we all know there is this power of darkness, and that is the authority of Satan in the air, ruling over men, having his kingdom, and all this is called by the Lord the gates of Hades. The gates of Hades is our unique enemy. And it has been attacking the church, frustrating the Lord, time after time. See, in order to build the church, the Lord had to pass through death and enter into resurrection. And hence he had to go to Jerusalem to die by the hands of these Jewish leaders, these religionists, and then enter into resurrection, Without death and resurrection, there would be no church. Without this death and resurrection experience and applied by us, there would be no building up of the church. The enemy's work is to what? Is to distract us, if I can use that word, from this death and resurrection. We can pay attention to many things, thinking those things can help us to build the church. But at the end of the day, brothers, it's death and resurrection. That is the unique way. The unique way. The cross is the unique way to build up the church of Christ. Two, the way to build up the church is to be crucified and resurrected. Paul's ministry is unique also in this sense that his writings and epistles are filled with this word of the cross. You know that word, logos. It means the utterance, the utterances of the cross. Paul, wherever he went, he just preached the cross, which to the Jews is foolishness. Am I right? But he said to those who believe, it is the power of God. That's his gospel, the preaching of the cross. Because he knew that only that Christ crucified can build up the church. Christ as the builder, Christ as the life and person, Christ as the element and essence, and the cross, death and resurrection, is the unique way. Three, the church exists and is built up only in the realm of resurrection through crucifixion. You say, I want resurrection. Well, there's only one way to have resurrection, and that's crucifixion. If no death, no life. If we do not die, we will not live. The same with the Lord, who set up a pattern for us. When he went to the cross, brothers and sisters, he went there not only to accomplish redemption. Am I right? He did that. But what does it say? It says, for the joy that is set before him, he endured that cross. What the Lord saw when he headed to Calvary is the church. Is the church for which he laid down his soul life, for which he died and gave himself up for her. D. Peter, with a good heart, rebuked the Lord and tried to prevent the Lord from going to Jerusalem to be crucified. You know, when we're in our natural man, brothers, not only we refuse to die, we will try to help people not to die. To take the comfortable way. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm trying to say here. Because you don't take that way, so you don't see why others have to take that way. You find another way, a better way, an easier way, a way with less suffering. But there's no other way, brothers. There is no other way but this way. It was not Peter, but Satan, who came out through one of the gates of Hades, the gate of Peter's self, to try to frustrate the Lord from building up the church. So here, Our brother said that what? There exists a possibility if certain keys are not exercised to lock up those gates of Hades. There exists a possibility for Satan to rampage out of Hades, through those gates, into the church, into us, into many situations. And as we will see, and we read already, I drew your attention to that behind, with Satan behind, you have actually three gates of Hades. Number one, the mind, the natural mind. That is set on the things of men. Number two, the self, the I. And number three, the soul life, or the soul. Those three are the gates of Hades. The self, number two here, the mind and the soul life are the main gates through which Satan comes forth to attack and damage the church. We go to Romans 2. The building up of the church depends on the shutting up. Time and time again, you will see our brother, he didn't use the word shutting up. He used the words locking up. Locking up. You can shut and someone can open it the next second. You got to lock it up. And keys are for, not for shutting. You don't need keys to, I mean, you know what I mean. You need keys only when something is locked. Am I right? To unlock. But in this case, the first two keys that Peter used is to unlock. So people can come into the kingdom of the heavens. But these three keys that our brother mentioned here is for locking. Not unlocking. A, we need to learn to exercise the key of denying the self. So the first key, the first thing to lock up is the self. And the way to exercise that key for the kingdom, for the church, is to deny the self. Brother Tom Getz, I hope you don't mind, he was stirring up my memory a little bit as we were talking a little bit about this message today. These messages were given in 1978, I think. And for some of us very old people here, that was the time in the aftermath, immediate aftermath of a great rebellion among us there in Anaheim and in the United States. There would be one brother, I can say that, I won't use names, but this person is no longer here, who is the leader. You know, even by his own assessment, he was the leader. He called himself the universal coordinator of the one new man. Now, talking about audacity. Talking about the natural life in action. He calls the life studies life stuffies. And we're just mere three years into the life studies. You know, today we finish, brotherly finish the whole Old and New Testament, right? We were just barely starting, first 3 years. He already called them life stuffies, mocking the ministry. He mocked Brother Lee. This man, by the way, is very charismatic. charming, have a sense of humor, quite attractive. But he did not only mock the ministry, to use the burden this morning. I would like to say he mocked the cross. He mocked the way of the cross. And this is where Tom told me something I've actually not heard, but he heard there in Anaheim, because they were quite close with this person, because they were in the church in Anaheim. He said, concerning the cross, I think, he said, the cross has not made a dent on me. Not a dent. I'm complete. I'm good. The cross doesn't work on me. Can you imagine someone mocking the cross in this kind of a way, which is the way of the Lord to build up the church? I tell you, in those days, some of us remember, it was all Hades broke loose. It was all gates opened. It was. It was that bad. And the building of the church at that time among us was severely impacted. I'm just using that as an example to be a warning to us. I'm warned by this in a fresh way. Let us now pay attention to these three keys. Yes, we need to preach the gospel to continue what Peter did, to open gates for many more to come into the kingdom of the heavens. But do not remember to exercise this other set of three keys. Three keys. I almost can guarantee you will not find a Christian book that will tell you about these three keys that needs to be exercised. Number one, the flesh is the created body corrupted by sin, the nature of Satan. The self is the created soul plus the satanic mind, the mind of Satan. I think this is quite clear. The self is just embodies this fallen soul that has become poisoned, that has become imbued with Satan, the satanic element, with the satanic mind, will, and emotion. Two, when the mind, the thought of Satan was injected into the human soul became the self, the embodiment of Satan. And that's why Peter can be called Satan by the Lord. The Lord was not there changing his name, you know, like he once changed. The Lord was pointing out what Satan's soul, Peter's soul, was at that moment. It was the embodiment of Satan. So what comes out of Peter, those words, no, Lord, no. That utterance is what? Is the satanic thought put into his human thought, you know, Peter's human thought. And out of the abundance of that thought, it came out through his mouth, those utterances. No, no, not you, Lord. This must not happen to you. Even filled with a good heart and love for Christ. But at that moment, all used and manipulated by Satan himself. to frustrate the Lord. Do you think Christ has no feeling? You think the Lord would have no feeling as a man? Surely he did. But at that moment, he had to be strong towards Peter and actually even toward himself, the sinless one. To put aside his human life, to live by the divine life, to reject his human will, and to take the Father's will, which is the cross. Before Eve took the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil into her body, the thought, the mind of Satan was injected into her soul. I think we all know the process of the fall of Eve. Before she gone picked that fruit, she already ate something. She ate the thought of Satan. God said that, but hey, I give you an option. You can see what God can see. You can know what's right, what's wrong. Go take it. She already received embrace that satanic thought into her mind. And so here it says, after Eve's mind was poisoned by Satan's thought. Brothers, let me say this. Please look at me for a moment. Huh? Brothers, the thought is key. Very key. It all happened starting from the thought. So even the littlest thought in us, we have to beware. We have to lock up. If you allow it to fester, you allow it to grow, it will soon begin to take over your feeling. You know, your emotions get aroused and stirred up. The more you think about it, the more you're stirred up about someone, about something in the church. You know what I mean? Let's say you got offended, right? You start thinking. The more you think, the more you're right. The more you're justified, the more that person, that brother is wrong. And the more you think this way, you start huffing and puffing. The more your veins start bulging, am I right? You take shorter breaths. Your emotion is aroused now towards a member of the body that offended you. Then finally, the will comes in. These are the gates working. This is how these gates of Hades work. I am like that too. Brothers, I'm not no different. See, by the time every part of the soul, the mind, the emotion, and the will had been poisoned. D, the self is the embodiment of the soul life. This is a good definition of the self. The embodiment of the soul life, which is expressed through the mind. Through the mind. Everything comes through the mind. The source is actually the self, which is the embodiment of our soul life. But the mind, where the imagination, the thinking, the reasoning takes place, is how the soul is expressed. Dear brothers, we all know opinion is a big problem in the church life, right? Opinion, natural opinion. What is opinion? Opinion is just a very strong belief and thought that you have cultivated, that you have welcomed, that you have helped to develop. And that's the mind. That's the unrenewed mind. And out of that, through your mouth, that opinion or those thoughts are expressed, are uttered. Behind these three is Satan, who manipulates the self in order to damage the church. How much of our speech and speaking in this kind of a way damage the church. We all have to ask the Lord to forgive us, don't we? In a moment of carelessness and neglect, whatever, we do the same thing. Three, the self is the soul declaring independence from God. This is another aspect of the self, that is, it's independent. And surely Peter at that time was totally independent of the Lord. Peter was his own man, giving the Lord his 2 cents, right? A, the Lord does not have regard for what we do. Rather, he has regard for our dependence on him. The true sign of the self is really independence, independent action without the Lord, without turning to the Spirit. And how often we regret afterwards this kind of sowing to the flesh, right? B, the enemy of the body is the self. Brother Lee always quoted Luther, who said, I'm afraid of the Pope, you know, in Rome, but I'm more afraid of the Pope that is in me. That's Luther. Because the self is something independent, the self is the greatest problem, the greatest frustration and opposition to the building up of the body. See, we should depend not only on God, but also on the body, on the brothers and sisters. I treasure the word that Brother Ron shared yesterday morning concerning the body. Truly, dependency on God, on the Lord today, on the head, is also our dependency on his body, the brothers and sisters and the saints. D, the Lord and his body are one. Hence, if we are dependent on the body, we are also dependent on the Lord. And if we are independent of the body, we are spontaneously independent of the Lord. The head and the body, Christ and the church, are that joined, are that mingled as one. We have to treat the body as we treat the head. Honor the body as we honor the head. E, when we are dependent, the self is gone. And instead of the self, we have the Lord's presence and are full of peace. You know, these songs on May the Spirit Flow, Exercise the Spirit, all have to do with the building of the church or the meetings of the church. Why we need to let the Spirit flow, why we need to exercise the Spirit, and that is to overcome or to come out of our fallen self, come out of our independent self. Down from self throne I will go. Pride must not imprison me, and so on and so forth. The body. The self is not just against Christ. The self is against the church. The enemy, brothers, is not out there. The enemy is within. Thank the Lord. Brother Lee even say hallelujah to the Lord for giving us or showing us that we have these three keys. Amen? I thank the Lord. I don't know what we would do without these three keys. F, only when the self-life has been utterly dealt with by the cross are we able to touch the reality of the body of Christ and come to know the body. You can even, you know, switch the word body for kingdom. To have the kingdom life, to touch the reality of the kingdom of God, to know the kingdom in a subjective way today, we need to deal with our self-life. We need to lock the gate of the self. No one will lock it for you. And we don't go around and lock other people's self. We are just responsible to lock up our own self. Oh, how much this open gate has frustrated the building up of local churches. But we've also seen, praise the Lord, how much the locking up of the self by the saints, by the brothers, result in the church ongoing building up. We have seen that as well. Four, the following are some expressions of the self. So I can just run through this rather quickly. These are, I didn't lost count how many words there is. These are all from the ministry, and we do well to study this, even item by item. These are all the manifestation, the signs, the expressions of the unlocked self. A, with the self, there are ambition, pride, and exaltation. B, with the self, there are self-righteousness, self-justification, and exposing, criticizing, and condemning others. C, with the self, there are introspection and self-despising. D, when we're in the self, we can be offended by the church, the leading ones of the saints. E, with the self, there are disappointment and discouragement. F, with the self, there are self-love, self-preservation, self-seeking, and self-pity. G, with the self, there are murmurings and reasonings. H, with the self, there is natural affection, friendship, based on natural taste and preference. I, with the self, there are the matters of being opinionated and dissenting. J, when we are in the self, we are individualistic and independent. There you have it, brothers. I would not just gloss over this very quickly. I think this requires some fine dealings with the Lord here and there. So you can identify only a person who is dealing with these things would have the sensitivity to an open gate of Hades. The more you have this kind of dealings, the more you are sensitive, that gate is open in me right now. A lot of times, the gates are open, we have no feeling, no idea, because we never have been discipled in this way to deal with these things carefully. Five, if we exercise the key of denying the self to lock up the self, it is impossible for us to be offended. Blessed are those who are not offended. I must confess, I'm not there. I will be the first to confess. Still can be offended, and sometimes quite easily offended. you know, when you are sensitive in this way, you almost feel like every hour you are trying to lock up another gate of the self, of Hades. Do you know what I mean? It's like all day long I'm running around, close, locking up another gate. I lock this one, that one open. I lock that one, this one open. Maybe you're better than me. Praise the Lord for that. But subjectively, huh? It seemed that way. But it shows the problem still exists. But thank the Lord, we have the keys. And the burden this morning is to use those keys. Exercise those keys to lock up these things, satanic things. Five, I have to be quick. If we exercise the key of denying the self, to lock up the self, it is impossible for us to be offended. Blessed are those who are not offended. I read that already. A, if we can be offended, it is a proof that we are full of self. Full. There are degrees to how much self there is. Full of self. B, if myself has been locked up, I will not be offended no matter what you do to me or how you treat me. Six, we need to learn to exercise the key of denying the self, to lock up the self in every situation. A, whether a situation is for us or against us, whether the brothers love us or hate us, we must lock up the self. B, if the self is locked up, the church will be built up. Two ups, right? Locked up, built up. Locked up, built up. More locking up, more building up. B, we need to learn to exercise the key of taking up the cross. I'll read through this rather quickly. To take up the cross simply means to take up the will of God. The cross is God's will versus man's will. A, the Lord Jesus was not forced to go to the cross like a criminal. He was willing to go because the cross was God's will. So God's will is to gain a church. So the will for the man, the God-man Jesus, is that he must die, be killed, and to be resurrected. That was God's will. And the Lord has to pray, even at the Garden of Gethsemane, that the Father's will would be done. The Lord, this sinless one, just because he was human, he need to exercise, to deny his sinless self. What a pattern a God-man living this is. And because of this, he could become the builder of the church and the element of that building. B, the Lord Jesus was willing to be crucified that through his death, his life might be released to produce and build up the church. See, the cross was a great suffering to the Lord, but he cared not for the suffering, but for the fulfillment of God's purpose. Peter's good heart is to reduce and eliminate the Lord's suffering. The Lord knew that, but he said, stop there, Satan. You don't care for God's will. I'm here to do God's will. Two, let him take up his cross. That refers to us. Means that we are not forced to bear the cross, but that we willingly take it up. So you have another up here. Take up. No one will apply the cross to you. You have to take up your own cross and bear it. The Lord Jesus bore the cross, and then he died on the cross. We're the opposite. Through our identification with Christ, we died with him. We're crucified with him. Thereafter, we bear the cross daily, following his footpath. A, our husband, wife, and children are God's will and are therefore our cross. B, the one church is God's will, and every brother and sister in the church is God's will. Thus, to bear the cross is to bear the church and to bear all the saints so that we would have the genuine oneness. No wonder Paul would say, you know, to keep diligently the oneness of the Spirit, one of the main virtues that is needed is forbearance, bearing one another in love. That bearing of one another in love to us many times is a kind of bearing of our cross. Am I right? Three, we need not only to take up our cross, but also carry our cross, that is to remain on the cross, keeping our old man under the termination of the cross day by day. The cross is not just only for suffering, the cross terminates. The cross kills. That's what ourselves need, our old man need. This is the meaning of being conform to the death of Christ. A, we have received the divine life through the Lord's crucifixion. Now, in order to be built up in this life, we need to willingly and happily take up the cross. For the joy, right? The Lord said, for the joy. He endured this cross. B, we should not care for our taste, feeling, or consciousness. Rather, we should care only for God's will, which is that we would have the genuine oneness. C, we need to learn to exercise the keys, the third key, of losing the soul life. One, to save the soul life is to please the self by allowing the soul to have its enjoyment. To lose the soul life is to lose the enjoyment of the soul. So when you entertain the thought of getting mad that someone is offending you, you are helping your soul to enjoy it. Do you understand what I'm saying? When we deny the soul that enjoyment, that is to lose our soul. A, God created man as a soul with the need for enjoyment. B, receiving God into man's spirit and expressing God through the soul should be man's joy and amusement. C, the Lord Jesus lost the enjoyment of his soul in this age, the Lord, so that he might find the soul, his soul life in the coming age. We must do the same. D, if we save our soul life in this age, we will lose it in the coming age. But if we lose our soul life in this age, we will find it in the coming age. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's one of the rewards in the coming kingdom, to find our soul life, to have the enjoyment of our soul as God has ordained. E, we need to love the Lord Jesus and to hate and deny our soul life, not loving our soul life even unto death. Two, if we are willing to lose all our present soulless enjoyment for the Lord's sake, for the sake of the church, and for the sake of all the saints, others will be nourished by us and will be built up through us. This is not a suffering, but a joy. Isn't it true that the real New Testament ministry is constituted through this process, of suffering? I die, you live. Let death work in me and life in you. That's the only way to build up the church. That's the exercising of these keys of the Hades. Three, the gate of Hades. The kingdom reward of sharing the king's joy in ruling over the earth is the manifestation of the kingdom. Depends upon whether we save our soul life in this age or lose it. I think I have discharged my burden. Could you please have some questions?